Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
Sitting in for Greg Corumbus from Radio America, I am Brett Winterbull. Welcome to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. I'm joined, by the way, getting a chance to sit in with Jim Garrity from National Review again. Hey, Jim, good to talk to you, man.
Always good to be with you, Brett. Not that I won't be missing Greg, but I just, this is going to be the kind of week where we're going to need a lot of martinis.
Yes,
a lot of very strong martinis.
I was debating when I first woke up this morning. Do I go with the coffee? Do I go with the martini? I figured I would hold off until we started talking before we hit the heavy duty sauce. Let's get right into it though. Let's start with the very first martini. What I think is a particularly very good one. And it is the conversation that took place over the weekend on the Sunday show between Bob Schieffer and David Axelrod. Bob Schieffer asked, sort of in a panicked mode, Jim, could Barack Obama be a one-term president?
The response that I saw there that I love, this obviously, first of all, the fact that this is now entering the mainstream media's conventional wisdom is pretty striking. Just a few months ago, everybody who was anybody in Washington was convinced that Obama was, you know, all but guaranteed a second term. And then, of course, they showed the clip of Obama saying, you know, probably about a week or two after his inauguration, well, you know, if I don't get this fixed in 3 years, this is going to be a one-term deal. And, of course, they showed that to David Axelrod. And Axelrod's explanation is, well, we're in a different place than we were the day he did that interview. Which Schieffer responds, we are. Things are worse than they were. Now, Brett, I think you or I would have had the exact same response. You know, how rare is it that you and I would be on the same page as Bob Schieffer, showing a little bit of cantankerousness, and I think enjoyable cantankerous in dealing with Axelrod. I think it's also very revealing that the administration, in response to terrible week on Wall Street, the downgrade of Standard & Poor's late Friday night, they send out their chief political strategist, not Treasury Secretary Geithner or anybody who deals with economics and finance. I think this indicates that they see this as primarily a political problem to be managed rather than an economic problem to be solved. I found that pretty revealing of the way the Obama administration approaches things.
And what is the ultimate takeaway from this, though? Because if Axelrod, in fact, gets out there and spins it and says, well, you know, it's a different place now than we were then, and we're in a better place, you know, in 6 months. And ultimately, it's Axelrod who's going to end up looking foolish when he does make the return visit to Bob Schieffer. And Bob Schieffer then says, here's the video of Matt Lauer and Barack Obama. Now, here's the video of you and I 6 months ago. Mm-hmm. And you're saying we were in a better place. I mean, this is not a winner at all for the administration. But certainly, I am willing to hoist one if you are, in honor of Bob Schieffer for taking the tough position.
I will gladly clink my glass over that and just kind of observe that we're about to witness, coming in this coming election year, what it looks like when an administration cannot run on its record.
Wow.
That's really tough for an incumbent. I mean, you'll see a lot of the other side is terrible, scary monsters, and they want to eat your children, yada, yada, yada. But really, they can't. You know, he can't say, well, in a different place. Yes, bad. The Peggy Noonan column of he made it worse is going to be the dominant theme. And I saw on Twitter a bit this weekend people saying you're going to see the kind of slogan, America needs its good name back regarding the credit rating, which I think would be a very powerful message against Obama. So
that is going to be absolutely.
That's my good martini, I'd say.
All right. I think that's a terrific martini. I like that a lot. I don't like what I see coming our way, though, now as I look jutting my eyes between the serving platter coming to us and also the stock ticker in front of us. This is a very bad martini. What we are experiencing on Wall Street is a very bad martini, Jim Garrity. We have got an economy that is the pin has been pulled. It is going to grenade. I don't know what we're going to do. We better quickly down this bad one because things are looking pretty bad on Wall Street, Jim Garrity.
Yeah, we're getting beyond metaphors. We've hit the metaphor ceiling regarding the state of the stock markets and concerns about the economy. Earlier today on CNBC, I saw them all putting on Nike sneakers and talking about the Hale Bopp comet coming to take us away. So really depressed over there. I think everyone kind of knew today was going to be a bad day. I haven't seen the most recent numbers. By the time people listen to this, it will have changed. But at one point, we were down 360. And that's, you know, and that was like an hour and a half into trading. So no one feeling particularly optimistic. Obama will address the country around 1 o'clock, I'm told, and I'm sure that'll make everything all better.
Yeah.
So my guess is that he'll tell us it's all the fault of rich people not paying their fair share before heading on to his $35,000 plate fundraiser. later.
This is horrible. This is atrocious. This is because you need to look at the trending line all the way back to last Monday when you see, what are we down? 1,500 points on the week moving into today. I mean, this is absolutely staggering. All I know is I'm trading in my paycheck for gold bullion, Jim Garrity. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm going to want a Goldschlager martini by the end of this week. It's going to be about $4,000 a glass.
I think so. It's kind of funny. Remember everybody was kind of laughing at Glenn Beck for doing gold commercials? Yeah. So 2 years ago? If we'd only, you know, we can genuinely say, if only we'd listened to Glenn Beck, we'd all be wealthy men today.
Of course. Sure. We absolutely would be. All right. Well, listen, I quickly downed that one, and I think we're ready to move on to what promises to be a very, very strange, odd, weird, disturbing martini. This is certainly a weird one. I'm getting visions of Charlie Manson and Michelle Bachmann, and it's not Betty Davis eyes. What kind of eyes are those that I'm seeing there, Jim Garrity?
I said a lead singer from the Bangles comes to mind. She always had good crazy eyes in some of those videos. But yeah, I know it's the cover of Newsweek, which depicts Michelle Bachmann. The title of the headline is "The Queen of Rage." Now, I don't dispute, you know, Michelle Bachmann can be a firecracker. She can be pugnacious. She is tough. She, you know, you never have any doubt where she stands. But you listen to her speak, it's nothing on par with like the Howard Dean scream or anything like that. I've never seen her actually come across as being, rah, you know, furiously angry. So it's really a template that is just being hammered onto her. I said this to some other conservative this morning. If we wanted to parody a wildly biased liberal media, we would come up with something like the Newsweek cover. In other words, you can't be more extreme than they have already been today. Clearly, they're having a fire sale on what's left of their credibility. I guess this is, you know, the Tina Brown Daily Beast touch coming to this. How dare Michelle Bachmann offend the good people at Newsweek by running for president? Thus, she must be stopped. This is coming out the same day as a New Yorker profile, which is similarly describing her as the worst person that ever lived. And as a result, you know, for those of us who wonder if the journalist is still around, meaning a coordinated effort on the parts of folks on the left in the media to push the same message, it's kind of fascinating to see two horrific hit pieces on Michelle Bachmann come out the same day. It's kind of a fascinating coincidence to see there.
Absolutely. I mean, it is amazing to see that take place. I mean, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking back to another time. The Iraq War was the hot issue. There was a very well-known female politician of the Democratic Party stripe who was screaming and ranting and raving angrily, as I recall, about it being patriotic to dissent from the administration on the war. I don't know if that would have been rage, but clearly not ragey enough like this.
Old, you were thinking of quiet, kind, genteel Hillary Clinton, I believe, is who you're thinking of. The
absolutely,
yeah, no thrown glassware or anything like that. Yes, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, listen, this is going to be a fascinating week to watch. I don't want to do an over under with you because we're going to visit a lot more times this week in terms of where this Dow will end up, where the Nasdaq will end up, where the rage will end up. But certainly, we are going to have a lot of great martinis. I think a lot of very bad martinis and probably our fair share of very weird martinis, Jim Garrity.
It's going to be a bumpy ride of a week, Brett. Greg bailed at the right time. Glad to have you here as my co-pilot. And just hold on to the controls and hopefully it'll be a soft landing.
I'll take three of these to go, please, just for the rest of the day. If I could, you know, what can I tell you? All right, Jim Garrity, we'll talk to you on Tuesday. I'm Brett Winterbull from Radio America. That's Jim Garrity from National Review. This is the 3 Martini Lunch, and we'll talk to you on Tuesday.